Now, what I should like to propose is an all-in scheme whereby the unemployable are supported by the state, but in return, they should relinquish all citizen rights, including the franchise and fatherhood. I am confident you will agree that this policy will lead to a far better Britain in the future. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, there, I was doing my best to do an impression of William Beveridge. William Beveridge is, of course, the author of the Beveridge Report, which founded the National Health Service. But as I have explored in my book here, Breeding the Human Herd, Eugenics, Dysgenics, and the Future of the Species, he was a leading advocate of eugenics. And what he argued essentially was that we need to have a population that is intelligent and that is genetically healthy, and we need to breed the population as a farmer would farm animals in order to ensure that is the case. He took the view that the congenitally that the long-term unemployed, the unemployable, were of a serious problem for the future of the race, for the future of the species, and therefore we should look after them because they can't do any useful work, but they should not, surely shouldn't be allowed to vote, because they'll obviously get a vote for to be looked after more, and they should not be allowed to have children. And we got to a fascinating point where in the Daily Telegraph recently, the other day, in fact, there was an article by one Michael Deacon entitled, "Should We Ban the Unemployed from Voting? We Need a Radical Plan to Tackle the Welfare State." And funnily enough, this was the one proposed by the man who invented it. This is indeed the case. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Should we ban the unemployed from voting? And indeed, perhaps breeding. Before I do so, could you do me a favour? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you leave a like? Could you leave a comment? Could you, for the algorithm, could you hit the bell button, all that kind of stuff? And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most base stuff I can't put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make, all kinds of malarkey. And where, if you like what I do, you can support me for just the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, I think it reaches a turning point where the Telegraph, who are normally the sort of milquetoast right that hardly dare say anything particularly radical, raise this problem. So far in the month of May 2026, the more than 600,000 households are in the UK are receiving benefits that average the same as the average workman's salary, which is absolutely appalling, isn't it? That a workman's salary that they're working for is being given away to 600,000 households. Enormous bill of £39 billion. Almost 1.5 million migrants are on unemployment benefit. This is absolutely ridiculous. And the article notes that in 1906, 35 years before the Beveridge Report, this is exactly what William Beveridge argued, that the unemployed should be banned from voting, and indeed they should be banned from ever having children. Now, let's look at the second thing first. In terms of what it does to society, the genetic component, what predicts being unemployed or unemployable, is that you have low intelligence and you have poor moral character, i.e. you are low in agreeableness, that's altruism and empathy, you are low in conscientiousness, that's impulse control and basically obeying the rules and so on, conscientiousness, and you are mentally unstable. The genetic component to these personality traits is about 50%, and the genetic component to intelligence is about 80%. At the moment, in the UK, according to a book called The Welfare Trait by Adam Perkins, if you divide the country into those where both parents are working, families where both parents are working, that's an average IQ of about 100, those where one parent is unemployed, those where both parents are unemployed, and those where both parents are unemployed and there has to be social worker and police interventions, only that group, the criminal underclass, long-term unemployed, have above replacement fertility among whites. So obviously what that means is that we are breeding for poor moral character and low intelligence. And we will pay for that severely in the future. And that is exactly what William Bevan... Maybe we are already paying for it, which is why England is in such chaos. So that is what that was the first point that William Beveridge made, that those who are unemployable, that simply can't figure out any decent work to do, should not be allowed to have children. And the second, but they should be looked after. He was compassionate. He took the view it's not their fault, their genetics is not their fault. They should be looked after, but they should be stopped from having children. The second point, he argued, is they shouldn't be allowed to vote. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at what allowing people that are not just unemployed, but are part, I would go further, that work for the state. People that work for the state, I would argue, should not be allowed to vote. Why? Because it is corrupt. This was the view of the Victorians, back when the state was tiny, back when it was a few thousand civil servants. Those that were on the payroll of the government, it was argued, are the government. Therefore, they should not be permitted to vote. And even when only a small percentage of men could vote, I mean, in the 1860s, it was something like 40% of men could vote. Someone like Anthony Trollope, who worked for the post office, which was a state monopoly, could not vote. And he was quite resentful about the fact that he couldn't vote, but he could not vote because he worked for the state. And the attitude was, if you allow civil servants, those that work for the state, that are on the state payroll, to be allowed to vote, they will inevitably vote for the party that offers them higher, that will take more money in taxation from normal people and give it to those that work for the state. So you will inevitably get a rise in taxation, and you will inevitably bias those that work for the state in favour of the party of big government, in favour of the party that wants to tax us loads and loads and loads and build an enormous state. That is unfair. If you allow them to vote, they're bound to vote for the party of big government, in those days of the Liberal Party, now the Labour Party, so you must stop them from voting. This seems to me to make a great deal of sense. We have at the moment this idea that, oh, you vote because you're a person in the country and it's your country. But this is not the original idea. The original idea of voting was you vote because you pay tax. You pay tax, and because you pay tax, you deserve a say in how your money is spent and in the kind of people that are spending your money. That's why you should be allowed to vote, because it's your money that the state is taking by force to spend on things. So you should have a say in how that money is spent by virtue of voting for people with particular policies and on who is spending the money. You know, are they a sensible kind of person? Therefore, by voting for particular individuals. It follows that if you don't pay tax and people who are unemployed do not pay tax, I mean, are not contributing, they're living off the state, they're not contributing to the state, then you should not be allowed to vote. We can perhaps take it further. If you take out of the state, in terms of benefits, health service, whatever, more than you put in, doesn't it make sense that you should not be allowed to vote? Because you are not contributing. You are not giving your money to the state. You are a parasite off the state. You are living off other people's money. So why should you be allowed to vote? And being on unemployment benefit, where you don't work at all, you are literally a parasite off the state, off other people's money. Surely you shouldn't be allowed to vote, because if you do vote, you will inevitably vote for the party that will give you more and more and more money. And the more of you there are, the more of you will vote for a party that gives you more and more and more money, that basically takes other people's money. And eventually the state will run out of other people's money and it will collapse into chaos. So therefore it follows that if you work for the state, you shouldn't be allowed to vote. School teachers, NHS doctors, NHS nurses, these people are the government. And therefore you could, and they will vote for bigger government on average. So they shouldn't be allowed to vote. Now the counter argument there, and I've got time for that counter argument, is these people are making a very important contribution. Society wouldn't function without them, and therefore they should be allowed to vote. Well, that's probably true, yes, of quite a few of those people, school teachers, doctors, nurses, that kind of thing. But it's certainly not true of the enormous, overgrown, bloated state of pointless apparatchiks that we have, community support officers and God knows what. They are not necessary. So they should not be allowed to vote. And they will always vote for a bigger state. So you can see, I would argue the extreme argument that they shouldn't be allowed to vote. But certainly people that are not contributing anything to society at all, that are just idle, and indeed more than that, are long-term idle. If they're going to be looked after, and they're going to indeed have more or the same as a person that does work in terms of annual income, then surely we look after them. They should not be allowed to vote because they are not contributing to society. They are parasites of society, and they are inherently motivated to vote for the party that offers them more. And then eventually you just have a tyranny of the unemployed, a tyranny of the non-contributor, where there's so many of them and they can all vote and they can control and steal money from other people so they can live a life of relative and completely undeserved luxury. So I would be very interested in your views in the comments. Should those who are long-term unemployed be allowed to vote? The having children, I'd be interested in your view as well. But should they be allowed to vote? And should those that are on the payroll of the state be allowed to vote? I'd like to thank you very much for listening. I hope there's a bit of interest. And tally-ho. And goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?